hope that each of you have in your walk with Christ, and we're just thankful that we were able to share the gospel with you these last several weeks, and that we've been we're here when you guys announced your decision unanimously to call us as your pastor. We're excited about that. We're looking forward to sharing with you the overwhelming grace that God has shown in our life, and learning about that in yours, and how He's going to empower us through the Holy Spirit and grace to extend that to our community. So we're excited about that and looking forward to it. One of the things, you know, as a pastor, you're used to people sort of giving you advice. And one of the things that we got advice was, we don't like the backdrop behind you over there, so we need something else. So here I am in the middle, so we'll try this today and see how that all works out. But and it doesn't really matter to me where I stand. I'm probably going to walk around a little bit more than I ought to anyway, but we're just trying to share the good news and the message that Christ has given to us. And we're excited to be able to do that. So thank you all again for the opportunity to serve you. And Greta and I are just so excited. So we're in the middle of our current sermon series. And I don't do sermon series all the time. So don't figure that that's what you're going to get is, you know, 6 weeks of this and 6 weeks of that. But right now I just felt like when we first came here that we needed to really talk about what the ingredients are that's going to bring to us a faithful and a fruitful life that's going to be satisfying. Because I don't know about you, but I think life is full of pitfalls. And there is a tremendous number of Satan is out there just doing everything he can to discourage and distract us. Amen? You know, at work, whether it be with your family, you know, everything that Satan can throw at us, he does. And so we need to know what the ingredients are to make that homemade apple pie that Grandma made, right? To make it, you know, I'm looking forward to going to the Meigs County Fair, and I don't know if Athens has one or not, but I'm just looking forward to going to the county fairs and seeing those where they get those blue ribbons, right? Do they do that? Do they still give away ribbons for the ladies that bake pies, or the guys, I guess, today? Or, you know, the chili or the baked beans or whatever it is? I will say this. We're going to probably have, if you guys don't already, a chili cook-off of some kind around Super Bowl time. And I have been undefeated in my 15 years of ministry. So I'm just going to lay that challenge out there. You know, we'll just have to see how all that works out. Now, Greta says that it's because that they know it's the pastors, and so that, you know, people donate the money to the pastor's bowl just so I don't leave. I don't know, but... not that I would leave over a bowl of chili or not, you know, but silliness. But the idea is that we need to have a full life, and that full life is available to every person. God gives it to us regardless of our background and how rich we are, what church we go to, or any other kind of factor other than if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to live life to the fullest. He has given us clear instruction within His Word on how to experience that and all that He has for us. And the book of 2 Peter, lays it out for us in a bit of a recipe with the different ingredients that come together for a great outcome. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, it says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. He goes on to say, it does not. Okay, well, how about that? Everybody got it? So, anybody got a Bible? Okay. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And for this very reason, here's the recipe. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, we talked about that, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, what we're going to talk about today, self-control, and of course self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of His Word. You know, that first week we took a look at the first ingredient that we add to our faith, and Peter says that we're to add goodness. And we talked about being given everything that we need and the opportunity to give back some small part of that which we've been blessed with, which, don't be fooled, everything you have is a gift from God. Everything. You know, you didn't earn any of it. I didn't earn any of it. Everything we have is a gift from Him. God planned these things for us long ago, and if we remain open to Him, we see opportunities to bless others. You know, sometimes that's just as simple as holding the door open. You know, common courtesies that we do, right? Open a door for somebody. Sometimes it's buying a tank of gas for somebody, a stranger that's stuck at the gas station. That happens more often than not, with gas being as expensive as it is. I've almost been stuck there a few times. How about you? But this recipe, this second ingredient in the recipe that we talked about last week, was knowledge. And we talked about how bankrupt our culture is, that we just sort of go with the flow. We try to go with the latest fad, and we all try to make it so that we can earn our way to heaven. And God's very clear, and He tells us in every book of the Bible, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. His Son, He provided the only door, and it's a very narrow door, because it doesn't allow for us to have that conceitful way of thinking that we can earn it. When we find ourselves in need, all we have to do is ask God, because He will give to us generously through His Word and godly counsel. Amen? Godly counsel of people around us. So goodness and knowledge go into the plot and into the pot of our lives to be cooked up into a full life of God. So today, we want to look in the cupboard for the next ingredient in the list, which is one of the most important ones that Peter mentions. And it's a keystone practice. It's a keystone practice for the life of God and what He wants for us. And that's self-control. Add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Now, every one of us has found ourselves in a situation where we needed to exercise self-control. And perhaps some of you, like me, have failed. One of my greatest weaknesses is food. At one time, I weighed close to 600 pounds. But praise God, I was able to get most of that weight off and keep it off for the last 8 years through the surgeries and the strength of my wife and others that have helped me and encouraged me. Plus, I wanted to be around for a little bit, you know? So God gave me the ability to do that. But one of the things that I have problems exercising is food. To be more specific, one of the areas that I still have trouble with is anything that's cooked on the grill. Any grill masters out here? I like the smell of searing meat. And if you add some sauce onto that, take a steak or a pork chop or brisket off the grill and slather it in some kind of sauce, and to me, it's a recipe for indulgence. I have a hard time saying no. You see, these cravings that we experience in life, which cause us to make decisions that we know are not healthy for us, are not just relegated, though, to the area of food. The truth is that we crave all kinds of things that, without self-control, can make us and take us to some pretty dangerous places. We crave intimacy. We crave things like control. We crave status. We crave power, believe it or not. We crave money. A craving is a powerful desire for something that can be overpowering because we somehow believe that that thing is going to fulfill us, that it's going to give us the satisfaction that we're looking for. This entire series is based upon the premise that the only thing that can truly fill us is a deep and abiding connection with God. That is where the full life is found. Cravings just leave us wanting more, right? When I eat that whole grill full of meat, I'm still hungry for more meat, right? Tomorrow we could start over. Without self-control, we are a danger to ourselves and a danger to others. According to the Scriptures, self-control is not something that we have to muster up on our own. Again, God said He gave us everything we need. The ability to control oneself actually comes from the Holy Spirit. So we're right. We can't control ourselves. But guess what? God gave us what? The Spirit to help us do that. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to the things that we should say no to, and yes to the things that we should say yes to. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Amen? The Spirit gives us the self-control that we need. It's one of the many fruits that is produced from a life that is connected to God. And so self-control is a byproduct of submission to the way of Jesus rather than the way of self. Years ago, when I first started in ministry, I had a volunteer that was working with the youth. And they were the director of our student ministry. And they were the volunteer director. And they led a number of other volunteers under him. And he had a problem of being chronically late. Chronically late. His team would be waiting for him for 15, 20 minutes, and they'd be ready for a meeting, they'd be ready for an activity, something that he was supposed to lead. And then finally, I had to have a sit-down conversation, which was difficult, because it's not like an employee, right? You can't just tell them what they have to do. You have to convince them why they need to do it. So we had this conversation with him, and I affirmed that he was very valuable, that he was worthy, but then I challenged him, saying that it was impossible for him to lead others unless he could first lead himself to be there on time, to not cause conflict by being late, and that he would do a better job of things like maybe setting an alarm so he could get up on time, or maybe putting something on his calendar to remind him that he needed to leave at a certain time to get there. But he needed to practice some self-control, right? And so thankfully there was a major shift and he began to make some marked improvements. Because when we lack self-control in some areas, it's not a huge deal. But it can be annoying more than anything else. But many times, the lack of self-control can be destructive. And the book of Proverbs gives us an alarming warning about the dangers of the lack of self-control. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says this: "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." Now, in the context of the Old Testament, in the ancient Near East, when war and violence were the languages of the day, they were at war more than they were at peace. They were always worried about who the next neighbor was that was going to come and try to take over their village or their town. A city's most reliable protection was its walls. The walls would make sure that anyone entering through its gates were thoroughly vetted and checked, and without the walls, the city would be vulnerable to attack and destruction. The same thing is true for our lives. Without self-control, without the power of the Holy Spirit, that fruit, that connection to God, our lives are open to being devoured, to being destroyed by Satan. Self-control is a mission-critical component of living a life full with God. Paul explains the struggle that we're in when it comes to living with self-control so clearly in the book of Romans. He's writing to a culture that really had a do-as-you-please mentality. Sound familiar? It was a city that was morally and spiritually bankrupt, largely because of the inability to practice constraint. And so, in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, Paul says this: those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. That makes sense. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Okay? What's verse 6 have to say? The mind is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for life and peace. How about you? I don't want death. That's what Paul told us way back when. That's what the Bible tells us. If we follow the ways of the world, we're going to die. But if we follow the ways of God with the power of the Holy Spirit as our support, we have a life everlasting and the peace. The result of the fleshly desires is a mind that is committed to Christ. A lot of wars are battled in our mind, aren't they? Satan is constantly planting seeds of destruction, seeds of confusion, seeds of misdirection in our mind. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. And so, you know, one of the things that I want you to leave here today understanding is that, you know, if you read the Bible and you're reading something about God or you're focusing on God, you're thinking about God, there is no room for Satan to add anything into your thoughts. You know, one of the simplest ways for me to explain that to you is that where light exists, darkness cannot be present. You walk into this building at night, flip the light switch on. Is there any darkness left? Light destroys darkness. I can't make it any simpler than that, folks. I mean, we get this example every time you flip the light switch. You get to understand how powerful God is. All you have to do is trust Him. All you have to do is have the faith that He belongs in you and that your life belongs to Him. And you flip that switch of hope, of faith, and Satan can't exist in you anymore. An old Cherokee grandfather was teaching his grandson about life. And he told him, he said, a fight is going on inside your mind. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. That evil wolf is anger and envy, sorrow and regret, greed and arrogance, self-pity. Throw guilt in there too, and resentment, and how about inferiority? Let's throw that in there. Let's throw in lies and false pride and superiority and ego. That's the evil wolf. But there's another wolf. And the other is good, and he is joy, and peace, and love, and hope, and patience, and humility, and kindness, and empathy, and generosity, and truth, and compassion, and faith. See, this fight is going on inside of you. Sidney's grandfather was telling his grandson. And it's going on inside of every other person, too. So it applies to me, and it applies to you. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, I see, but which wolf will win? And the old man smiled and simply replied, the one you feed, son. lives and in the lives of our friends and neighbors and family, we can see it, can't we? Which wolf are you feeding? Are you feeding the one that is doesn't have self-control, the one that is looking for self, everything's about you? Or are you looking for the one that everything's about God, and what can you do to help others and to help make yourself stronger? A renewed mind is a surrendered mind. Mental illness is a huge thing in our world today. One of the things, that we know, everybody knows somebody in their family or in their community and their friends that have a mental illness, whether that's bipolar, whether that's schizophrenia, whether that's depression, whatever it is. But we understand as a culture today that the mind is tremendously important to our body's health. The mind, a renewed mind, somebody who has peace, right? That's a valuable commodity, isn't it? We've all been in times of peace. We've all been in times of turmoil. And those times of peace are beautiful. But here's the thing. You have a choice every day. You have a choice every day. Which way you're going? Where are you going to feed? Who are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the lies of Satan, or are you going to feed the truth of God? What are you going to put in your mind? Are you going to turn on the TV and watch some craziness? My dad, and again, I'm not saying this, I love Fox News too, but my dad lives with Fox News 24/7. He knows nothing else other than what Fox News tells him. Or the occasional phone call from his pastor's son who tells him that he needs to turn it off for a few minutes and make up his own mind. Look, again, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying you can't function. Take 20 minutes and read the Bible, Put some context to that news that you're getting fed into your head 24/7. The same thing with CNN, okay? I'm not trying to pick sides from the pulpit. I'm just telling you, the Bible is where you're going to find the truth. The Bible is how we have to judge all of the things of our lives and what's going on around us and what is the best choice for us. It's based on the Bible. Not based on what some person or pundit or what we see on a movie, When I was growing up, we would come home and get off the school bus and Hogan's Heroes was on. Hogan's Heroes. So I, learned a lot about the Gestapo and, thought that that's how maybe we ought to run our life at home, Maybe there ought to be a Colonel Klink out there. Maybe I'd be a good Colonel Klink. I don't know. Somebody had to be in charge. We had to have order, right? Again, what are you going to feed into your mind? Are you going to come to church on Sundays, or are you going to go, sit at the local bar on Sunday afternoon? What's more important, where you eat at on Sunday afternoon or where you eat at on Sunday morning? A renewed mind is a surrendered mind. We have a choice each day what we're going to allow into our mind and our heart. To many of us, we allow our minds to be filled with negativity. We listen to the lies of fear. We listen to the lies of pride and the anxiety that Satan gives to us. And we can give all that up and surrender it to the leading of Jesus Christ. And what I've seen in my own life is that when I feed the Spirit and I practice self-control, it actually becomes easier to feed the Spirit and practice self-control. Each step gets a little bit easier. Every day gets a little bit easier, right? Amen? It takes something like 7 days, 5 to 7 days for our bodies to get into a routine. It takes 3 to 5 days for our minds to accept some type of a cultural, what we do in our lives. lives as a norm, that where we, you know, our bodies adjust when we get up, right? My body doesn't need an alarm clock anymore to get up at 6 a.m. because I'm up at 6 a.m., right? So we can see things like that in our Bible. We see these keys. That if, as long as we practice this self-control, it gets easier. And so the reason why is that one of the ingredients to experiencing your life to the fullest is to limit negative effects of sinful choices and increasing the positive outcomes of calculated choices. And it's not a secret. It's actually pretty simple and straightforward, but yet many people never really discover it. One of the reasons that self-control is so hard is because we don't often consider the long-term effects of our daily choices. Greta and I were talking last night at dinner about how our culture wants everything now, right? I have a phone. I don't know what it is. Oh, it's in my pocket. I was going to say, if you see an iPhone laying around, that would be mine. No. But I have access to anything instantaneously, or as close to instantaneously as iPhone and Google can make it, right? We have to practice something called delayed gratification. The reality is we're not going to get our reward from God until we're with Him in heaven. So, you know what? We don't get instant gratification. We get delayed gratification. So, this is a message that almost every adult in the room has tried or is currently trying to teach their kids, right? I've got my youngest daughter going through this right now. Why do I care about a retirement plan? And why do I need to have Aflac in case I get hurt? I'm invincible. I'm 23 years old until she breaks her first arm and is off, you know, can't work or whatever, right? But delayed gratification, we don't understand. I could take that $25 and use it to whatever. I don't know what you do with it today, but I know what I did with it at the time, you know. Went and bought some more ribeyes to put on the grill. But most, you know, as much as we want our kids to learn that delayed gratification, we need to learn it too. Because, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for instantaneous gratification. We want to fix a problem. We want it fixed now. You know what? We got to trust God. We got to realize where the real power is. And it's not in us. You know? There was a study done by Stanford in the 60s that looked at some of the main qualities that people need to succeed in life. And they found out that practicing self-control and delayed gratification were essential to living well. So if you don't believe me, you don't believe the Bible, you ought to believe Stanford University, right? It seems that self-control in one area of your life, of course, can spill over into other areas. Practicing regular times in prayer and Bible study has a positive effect on other areas of your life. Think about coming to church. If you don't come to church on a Sunday morning and you're in a regular routine of coming, you feel like you missed something. You did miss something, but you know you did because you missed your friends. You missed your family. You know? Practicing regular times of prayer and Bible study is a positive thing. Practicing regular exercise has positive effects on other areas of your life. Investing in your marriage. This is something that Greta and I have been married over 25 years. But investing in your marriage, taking the time to spend with your spouse, to learn about your spouse, to share with your spouse, has huge dividends on how well you're going to do it, how well your marriage is going to make it. Learning to submit to the power of God's Spirit in your life is going to develop that self-control. That's a necessary part of the recipe for a full life. Okay? As we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, and as we get ready to share the Lord's table this morning, as the deacons and deaconesses come forward to prepare the table, if you don't know God, if you need to start practicing that self-control, maybe you're already a Christian, but you need to refocus your life. I'm willing to pray with you. We can start right now today. Don't leave this place if you don't know Him. He stands ready. He stands ready to guide you and walk with you. And our church family, as we just covenanted at the beginning of this service, commits to being there for each other. And we'll walk beside of you. We'll help you to find those discipleship opportunities. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, In the Sweet By and By.